Lord God, may we not only be hearers of the word, but doers also in the power of your Spirit. And in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The comic Steve Martin once said, "It's so hard to believe in anything anymore. I guess I wouldn't believe in anything if it weren't for my lucky astrology mood watch." You get the impression that today, that whatever you believe in doesn't really matter as long as it works for you. But G.K. Chesterton once said that if he were a landlord, what he would most like to know about his tenants were not their employment, nor their income, but their beliefs. Not their employment, nor their income, but their beliefs. I assume he meant something like, the people who believed in honesty would indeed pay their rent. The people who believed in loving their neighbours would make good neighbours and respect the property that they were using. Because what you believe affects the way you live. If you believe that the Bible is God's word to humanity, then you will live out your life according to it. If you believe that the Bible is just a human concoction of ideas and experiences, then you will pick and choose what you want to live by. If you believe there's a resurrection to eternal life for all those who have faith in Jesus Christ, then you will tend to store up treasure in heaven. If you really believe that when you are dead there is nothing more, then there is nothing to stop you maximizing your pleasure in this life with no accountability in the next. Because for you, there is no next. So what you believe is important. And what you do with your life will ultimately reveal what you really believe. And not just what you say you believe. Now I think this is really the underlying theme of James's letter. James says, you say you believe in God, well, so does the devil. So the real question is not do you believe in God, but do you have faith in God? Have you asked God to forgive you on the strength of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, in charge of your life? Have you received his transforming spirit? And then says James, if you have, then where is the evidence in your life? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, he says, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Remember over the past few weeks some of the examples that James has given to us. Does your faith affect the way you face the trials of life? Do those trials strengthen you and help you to persevere? Or do they bring out the worst in you and make you want to give up? Do you give in to temptation? Or do you draw on the scriptures and do you draw on God's strength to resist? Are you wise in your responses and your interactions with people? Do you make wise decisions and suggest wise courses of action? Remember in chapter 3, verse 13, James said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Do you treat all alike without favor? Do you welcome the poor and the stranger? Do you share generously with the poorest of the world? Do you speak out for the widow and the orphan, as James terms them? Do you know how to control your tongue, your anger, your competitiveness, your gossip? James asks the question, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? James is not contradicting Paul, who writes that works cannot save you and that you're saved by faith without works. You are, of course, forgiven and saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. But I think that James is simply saying, if you now claim to be a follower and an imitator of Jesus Christ, but that faith has made no difference to what you do and say, if no change has taken place in your life, then you would have to question whether there was any real commitment there in the first place. It's rather like one of those decorated eggs, you know, the ones they paint at Easter time. The egg is drained through a small hole and made to look very pretty. It's painted up, looks beautiful, but it no longer is any use for eating or for making a cake. It has no content. Faith can be the same. Outwardly it may seem fine, but if there is no content and no understanding, then there is nothing productive coming from it. In fact, James is not alone in talking about works emanating from faith. In the New Testament, there is a great deal about how we should behave as Christian people. It's not just theology, it's also practice. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. Watch out for false prophets, he said. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. The inward wolf will come out in what they do. And he goes on to say, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, he says, by their fruit you will recognize them. If you look at the structure of Paul's letters in Romans, if you read through the first 11 chapters of Romans, they're all theology. Amongst other important things, they tell of being justified in God's sight by faith in Jesus Christ. But when you get to chapter 12, Paul then writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then he goes on to talk about humility, using our gifts, showing genuine love, blessing, not cursing, not repaying evil for evil, being subject to governing authorities, and then a whole host of other practicalities about living. Theology, practice. Take a look at Ephesians, another example. The first three chapters of Ephesians tell of our standing and our relationship to Jesus Christ. It's really encouraging. And then comes chapter 4. And Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so Paul writes about not living as the Gentiles do, about putting off falsehood. He writes, get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Here is how you stand in Christ. Here is how you behave in Christ. If we turn to Hebrews, the author of Hebrews gives us an inspiring list of people who lived out their faith. In chapter 11, amongst them we read, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. He said, we're living in Egypt, but we're going to be in Israel. We're going to be back in Canaan, in the land of Canaan. He said, that's where I want to be buried. Sure enough, it came about. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Without seeing the outcome of their faith, these people acted on God's word to them. They were willing to make sacrifices in this life for the next. So let me ask you today, what do you really believe? If you believe your sins are forgiven, that you are a member of God's family and that Jesus is your Lord, what difference is it making to your everyday life? What difference does it make to where you give your money and where you invest and how much you give? How you relate to your family, your friends and your neighbours? What you say about and your attitude to refugees who are escaping persecution? How you speak about and relate to migrants in this country? How you respect and care for the physical world that God has entrusted to us? What jobs you are willing to take on or not take on? How you work out your taxes? How honest you are? How generous or greedy you are? How you use the talents that God has given you? How important your church family is to you? Whether you still come to worship God when your relatives come to stay over the weekend? How you plan your year? How you behave in the face of disappointment or failure? See, if you believe that Jesus Christ and the eternal life he offers you will not shrink away from sharing your faith, because your love for others will not let them miss out on the best news in the world. These things about the ways that we live out our faith are not, in a sense, salvation issues. They're not the things that determine whether we are saved or not in God's sight. But these and many other things directly relate to what we believe and in whom our faith is placed. You see, how much you live out your faith in front of others will initially also speak much more powerfully than even trying to explain your faith, certainly in the first instance. We all know of the meeting of Henry M. Stanley, who found Livingstone in Africa and then lived with him for some time. This is what he said. He said, "I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London, but there came for me a long time for reflection." He said, "I saw this solitary old man there and I asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him?" He said, For months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. Leave all things and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went about his business, I was converted by him, although he had not tried to do it. How are you influencing the world in which you live? James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." May you be blessed.